Welcome back, folks. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We are joined now by Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch, who filed a lawsuit along with Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine against Donald Trump, alleging he violated the anti-corruption clauses within the Constitution and accepting payments and benefits from foreign governments and more since moving to the White House, which was a bold move, now being followed up by several hundred people, 200 officials from around the country also joining in their own independent ways of attacking this issue. And Brian, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. You can write to us here at talk at steinershow.org by email. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, but do join us and bring your questions to the to our attorney generals. Talk about the background of this. Let's begin with the emolument clause.
Yes, it does. There are two emoluments.
Yeah,
there are two emoluments clauses, and basically they say this. They say the president, that the first one, the foreign emoluments clause, says that any federal official is prohibited from accepting emoluments, presents, gifts, et cetera, from any foreign entity, state, prince, whatever. And the domestic emoluments clause says that the president gets a salary, and that's all he can receive from the United States or any of them, meaning any of the United States. And Donald Trump has violated both of these clauses, and he's done it unashamedly, openly, and he's bragged about it. I mean, China is one of the biggest tenants in Trump Tower in New York. It's a Chinese state-owned bank that's one of his biggest tenants in New York. He has in one of his New York buildings, which is a condominium in part, he gets payments from Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Qatar, India, and we don't know what his relationship is with Russia, of course, because he won't disclose it. But all of these payments are illegal. Worse than that, he's using the presidency to profiteer. He has marketed his Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. to the diplomatic community. Mar-a-Lago, his Florida resort, was advertised, believe it or not, on the State Department website and on the website of the embassies of the United States in the United Kingdom and in Albania.
As what?
As a great place to go in America.
I mean, our federal government is putting this on their websites?
Yes. Yes. His resort.
Okay. Now, that's
yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, you know, Carl Racine, the Attorney General of the District of Columbia, and I believe, and we're certain that this violates the Emoluments Clause. The Emoluments Clauses are the original anti-corruption legislation. They're in the Constitution because the framers wanted to make sure that the President of the United States was incorruptible, that he got a salary, he got it from the United States. That's it. Nobody else could influence it.
So one of the important things here that I read, that what you and Attorney General Racine from Washington, D.C. are doing in this lawsuit is demanding through the discovery process Trump's personal tax returns to kind of see where his business dealings are with Russia and other places. Is that part of this?
Yeah, that is a part of it. I mean, that's not the objective. The objective is to stop him from doing this. Because, you know, we don't know whether he's putting his financial interests first or our interests, the American people's interests first. But yes, in the course of this lawsuit, we are going to ask for all of his financial documents, including his tax returns.
So, you know, when you look at where this could take you, I mean, this also has to do with the state of Maryland and Washington, D.C.
Yes.
You're saying this is affecting us directly. How does that fit into this?
Well, it affects us in at least three ways. I mean, first of all of us have an interest in honest government. every single American, every single Marylander, it's incredibly important that we know that we have honest government, and that's the most important thing. Secondly, we need to know that the president is not going to favor another country over the state of Maryland's interests. And we need to know that he's not going to favor New York because it has Trump Tower and other Trump properties over Maryland when he's doling out federal monies. We need to know that Maryland citizens and the state of Maryland are going to be on an equal footing with the citizens and other states in our union in the president's eyes. And finally, you know, there are economic interests that are implicated. Maryland and Montgomery County have invested in the conference center in Bethesda. The state and Prince George's County have interests in National Harbor. I mean, the state gets a whole bunch of revenue from the casino, and Prince George's County owns pieces of the development over there. So to the extent those businesses and others compete with the Trump Hotel in D.C., we're disadvantaged.
So let me just read this for a moment. These 49 words of Article 1 of the Constitution, the Emolument Clause.
Yeah.
It says, no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Now, part of this I know in the original interpretation of this that I've read some people argue had to do with not just the president, but ambassadors taking gifts when they were overseas and
Correct.
Influencing American policy. So some people could argue that this is a 18th century clause. What does it have to do with the 21st century and Donald Trump's business interests? What's the connection?
This is, you know, the most basic anti-corruption provision you could have. President can't be bought. President can't be sold. That's what it says. And, you know, it's remarkable that it has been accepted and followed for 240-some years without question until Donald Trump. You know, every other president, although the Justice Department tries to make an argument to the contrary, every other president has abided by the Emoluments Clause. And Donald Trump has just blown right through it. You know, I mean, it's a firewall against corruption. He ought to understand the concept of a wall. This is one he can't break through.
So what does this have to do with? I'm going to open the phone. Some listeners are calling in to ask you some questions about this. What does this have to do with his refusal to put his businesses in a blind trust? He's still getting updates from his sons about how the businesses are doing, or to divest himself. What's the connection between those decisions and this lawsuit, if any?
Well, you know, I think because of the Emoluments Clause, he recognized that he needed to do something. He promised that he was going to put his businesses in a blind trust. That's not sufficient. I mean, that is just not good enough. But he didn't even do that. At some point, I think somewhere along the road, he said he was going to divest, but he hasn't. And he's got conflicts of interest. And there are conflicts of interest with the interests of the United States and each one of its citizens. We don't know whether he's making a deal with a country because he's got a golf course there, or whether he is potentially going to send Americans into harm's way because he wants to protect an interest he's got in a foreign nation. It's a big deal.
So let me open the phones here before I ask a couple more questions, and I know you have to run in about 10, 15 minutes here. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Did we lose those callers? We still have them? Tom, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
I was wondering, Mr. Frosch, we have a designated presidential retreat in Maryland.
Yes, Camp David.
Camp David. I was wondering why the president never goes there.
I don't know. I mean, he likes to go to Mar-a-Lago, I guess, in Florida. I mean, if he's not using it, I'd like to sign up, but I don't know the answer.
So talk about where this lawsuit goes and what connection this has to the lawsuits that are happening, what's been brought up around the country by mayors and others who are also taking on the White House. What's the connection?
Well, what's going to happen is the Justice Department will file a motion to dismiss our lawsuit, and they'll say, as they've said, there's a lawsuit in New York where some businesses have sued Donald Trump and Crew. It's an organization that fights for ethics and government has sued them, and they said, oh, you guys don't have standing. Well, you know, states have standing. Attorneys general have standing. And so I think they're going to try to make that argument. I believe it'll fail. We'll survive a motion to dismiss. We'll ask for discovery, meaning that we will ask for his financial records, his tax returns, to see what his interests are, to see what payments he's getting from Russia, from China, from India, from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia, et cetera. And we, you know, it may bounce up and down between the federal trial courts and appellate courts once or twice, but we believe ultimately the Supreme Court and all of the federal courts will tell him he can't accept any of these payments, and he's got to, how he fixes that is up to the courts and him, but it's got to be fixed. He can't maintain these businesses and be president at the same time.
So as the Washington Post reported, they said the embassy of Kuwait held an event at his hotel in D.C. And switched from Four Seasons, Saudi Arabia, where he just came back from, booked rooms at the hotel.
Yeah.
Turkey had a state-sponsored event, the ambassador of Georgia, many other places. And so the other piece of this, though, was that he is reportedly getting updates and reports from his sons about the state of those businesses. I mean, is that part of the Emolument Clause? Is that something that's illegal?
Yes, all of that's illegal. I mean, he cannot be in a position where he is receiving payments, gifts, whatever, from foreign governments. And so, yes, it's illegal. And, I mean, the reports from his sons are almost beside the point. He proposed the blind trust as a way of getting around the Emoluments Clauses, and that just doesn't work. I mean, first of all, the idea that somehow his sons are going to be independent of Donald Trump, I mean, it's like saying the Muppets are independent.
So when the administration says the businesses are legally permitted, let me quote this from the Washington Post, that the Department of Justice filed a 70-page brief that you can talk about in a moment against this lawsuit to have it dismissed. And then the Washington Post reported that it's saying the administration said Trump's businesses are legally permitted to accept payments from foreign governments while he's in office. The filing held up the lack of past complaints going all the way back to a farm produced and sold abroad by George Washington to assert the market rate payments for Trump's real estate, hotel, and golf companies do not constitute emoluments as defined by the Constitution. So how do you respond to that?
It's a remarkably silly argument for the Justice Department to be making. I mean, I don't know how they made it, you know, with a straight face. First, they cite a couple of presidents, Washington and Jefferson, who had farms and presumably sold crops abroad. That's as far as they go. They don't even allege that they sold them to foreign governments. They just say they sold crops abroad. They don't allege that they were sold directly abroad. I mean, what often happened is, you know, people sold to agents in the United States who then went with the ship and sold them to somebody in England or wherever. So, you know, we don't know whether they sold them to a middleman, sold them to somebody else, somewhere else. But they have to show that those guys got payments from a foreign government. They don't even allege that, number one, and there's no proof of it. And then they make this incredible logical leap that since nobody complained about it, it must have been okay, and that therefore that makes Trump you know, what Trump's doing, okay, it's ridiculous. I don't think they get very far with that argument.
So on the domestic side, what is your lawsuit have to say about the what went on between the Trump administration and the U.S. General Services Administration that handles federal real estate
right.
and the old post office building where his hotel is? So what is that? How does that play into this?
The Trump Post Office Hotel, which my friend Congressman Jamie Raskin refers to as the Washington Emolument, is a deal where, you know, he enters into a lease with the federal government for the post office. The lease itself says that nobody who holds federal office can have an ownership interest in the lease. Donald Trump has an ownership interest in the lease. The lease says that can't happen. Trump gets elected, sworn in. The head of GSA, the General Services Administration, is gone. The acting director, they fire, and they bring in a Trump person who then reviews the lease and says, oh, well, you know what? It's perfectly okay. First of all, that's wrong. It violates the specific terms of the lease. And second, it is classically an emolument. He can't get anything else from the United States government other than his salary. And here he is getting a lease from the United States government and bringing in money from foreign governments and renting to – there was a I can't remember which embassy it was that had scheduled an event at the Four Seasons. Trump got elected. They switched it to the Trump Hotel. It's outrageous. He's in violation of the lease. He's not allowed to have an ownership interest in it, and he's not allowed to collect foreign payments as the proprietor of the hotel.
So let me open the phones again at 410-319-8888. We're talking with Maryland State Attorney General Brian Frosch, who, along with the Attorney General of Washington, D.C., filed a lawsuit because of the emolument clause not allowing the president to take money from businesses and foreign interests while he's president. And we're talking to him now about what that lawsuit means. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And Louise, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to speaking about honesty and conflicts of interest. What about the honesty and conflicts of interest up at the State House with our state representatives? Conflicts of interest comes to mind the whole thing with the Bills Bondsman issue, them giving the state representatives and everything, dinners and all this kind of stuff and money and politics. And what about the lies you were told as far as the education, as far as where the lottery money was going to go and where the casino money was going to go? And what about the violence, the white-collar violence that is being committed against our citizens in Baltimore and in the state? Specifically, one example, Jared Kushner's LLC, J2K Westminster, mm-hmm. which I understand basically took over Section 8 housing and is using predatory practices to basically put people more and more into poverty. What are you going to do about those things?
Well, Louise,
thanks for that question, Louise.
I'm not sure I can remember all of them. Let me just tell you that the article that I read about Jared Kushner's apartments and practices would violate Maryland law. I can't say anything more about it than that because our office may have jurisdiction to look into it. With respect to the bail bond situation, I also agree with you. We fought very hard to first get the rule changed so that people are not held in jail in Maryland for being poor. And the Court of Appeals, in a landmark decision, passed a new rule that requires judges, if they're going to set a financial condition for the release of somebody, to ensure that the person can meet that conditions so that people aren't held in jail because they can't come up with $100 or $500. And thousands of people have been in jail in our state for that precise reason, because they're poor. The General Assembly, there were bills introduced in the General Assembly to overturn that rule. The bail bondsmen were behind them and fighting for bills to get rid of that rule. And it was a sad thing to watch. We were fighting very hard against it and ultimately prevailed, ultimately managed to stop the legislation from passing. And I think we've made a great step forward as a result. But like you, it concerns me the influence of moneyed interests in our political process. But the Supreme Court has held that the First Amendment allows people to come in and say what they think and to make campaign contributions to folks. And the Supreme Court has said that corporations and PACs are allowed to spend money to get their interests advanced and to campaign for candidates for public office.
So before we have to let you run, one quick question, another caller here we'll get to, and then we'll end. So what would be the end result of this lawsuit? If you won this lawsuit, yeah, to your satisfaction, what would that mean for the presidency, and what would it mean for the nation?
So it would mean that Donald Trump would have to stop doing what he's doing. We've asked the court for a declaratory judgment that what he's doing is a violation of the emoluments clauses, and to enjoin him from continuing to do that. And that would mean the court would order him to stop receiving these payments. And how he accomplishes that would be up to him, up to the court. Court could require him to divest. It could require all kinds of different things. But it would stop the practices and end the corrupting influences that those payments would have on him.
So let me get another call in here before you have to run. Oh, it's the same call we had before. I wanted a clarification. Louise, you're on the air. What's your quick clarification before we have to run?
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The reason why I'm calling is because I want to find out, what control do you have over the court's complicity in these predatory practices? The whole thing about the lawyer's fees, the court costs, the late fees.
Oh, you're talking about the Kushner article. You're back to Kushner.
Yeah, I know, and I know that he was talking, I think that he was didn't really understand it, and the court's complicity, I mean, I'm just wanting to add that into,
yeah,
the court's complicity in, you know, these predatory practices. I think the article, real quick, about the Kushner thing, where this young lady, she was in the right. She went back to the court.
Okay.
She went broke, and then the courts did not do anything to help her. What about the corporate interest in these whole things, and how the courts side with the corporate interest versus, you know, the people that, you know, are affected by this whole thing?
Right. I mean, one of the problems here is you have people without resources who don't have attorneys to stand up for them in court, and the court's not hearing their side of the story. And what if you? I don't know whether the article is true or not true, but if the article is true, then they're violating the law. The law in Maryland protects people from that kind of practice. And the courts should not be awarding judgments against people in those situations, and certainly shouldn't be awarding attorney's fees. As I say, I don't know whether at this point whether the story is true or not, but if what it says is true, it's a terrible situation.
So, Brian Frosch, Attorney General for the State of Maryland, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I appreciate you taking the lawsuit on. We should explore more of what's happening with Kushner and what the state can do. I think that'd be a conversation for another day when we can really get into it together. I think it's an important one. But I appreciate the suit that you and the Attorney General from Washington, D.C. brought, and thank you for taking your time with us today.
Great to be with you, Mark. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. So that was Brian Frosch, our Attorney General. We're talking about the lawsuit that was filed with the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. We're going to take a very short break. And when we come back from that break, we are going to be joined by Baynard Woods for our weekly look and our podcast. And we're going to be talking about what's happening in voice Jeff Sessions on Capitol Hill and more. Stay with us.